First day in heaven. As Brother Burke was just mentioning, we can't even comprehend what it would be like. As he mentioned many things there, almost everything that we associate life with today won't be there. I've heard people say, you know, they won't sleep, won't need to sleep, won't need to eat. That kind of might be a little disappointing, but I don't know if that's even a fact. It may not even be a fact, you know. But I don't know what it's going to be like, but as all the things will help us, I want to see Jesus. As the one song says, just one glimpse of his dear face, will all the toils of life repay. I believe that. And by the grace of God, I want to see Jesus. I want to see the throne of God one day, to see the all of that, the blessings, the help of the Lord. And to do that, I got to stay faithful all the way to the end. And, you know, as you do get older and things, and it gets, sometimes the enemy gets a little more tricky.
Yes, it does.
And, but I thank God he'll be faithful to us. And I want to be faithful to the very end. It's good to be in service. We appreciated each one that was out this morning. We thank the Lord for a good audience that we had. The young man that came in, even though he's seen some disturbance there, but he was very cordial when he wanted to speak with me back there. And he wanted to know if the hall across the street was available for him and his buddy. They were going to start a gaming business. But when I told him, I said, we don't rent the hall. And I said, I've had other people ask me about renting it and things. I said, he was fine. It was okay. We talked a little bit about general stuff. And then he went on about his business. And so thank the Lord for the things were well with that.
What's his first name so we can pray for him?
Excuse me again?
His first name.
I don't remember what his first name was. He told me, but I forgot
his
what.
His name is Jacob Joseph Michael Johnson.
Is that what his name was?
Joshua
Joseph Michael Johnson. Anyway, he had some smarts about it. And there were some things he understood and knew, but that was kind of interesting. But anyway, go ahead.
He lives right up the street.
Yeah, he lives with his mom and things and. But anyway, let's open up our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 18. We'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we cannot praise you and thank you enough for all that you've done for us, dear Lord. Revealing the plan of salvation to our minds, dear Heavenly Father, is a wonderful thing. And Lord, as I believe Brother Danny mentioned, you know, we desire to have our families. And when he tells his family about some of the good things that God has done for them, and Lord, they look strange. And Lord, you've told us in your word not to cast your pearls before swine. The Heavenly Father, we can tell some of them about the good things of God, and they may mock us, they may make fun of us, they may think we're crazy. But Lord, we're so thankful that we can experience the good things of God. And Lord, we ask you to be with us tonight as we look into the service tonight, looking at the word. Dear Heavenly Father, you see the thoughts that we have, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to be encouraged, dear Heavenly Father. We have a battle. We have an enemy that is doing everything, throwing everything that he has at us, dear Lord. Every dart, every ammunition that he has, dear Lord, to try to deter us, to get off the path of righteousness. So Lord, we just ask you to bless us, dear Lord, as we're here tonight. The Lord, that we'll gain something from the thoughts that we have this evening, that'll be a blessing to us. We ask you to anoint me, anoint the word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 18, this thought came to my mind, I don't know, this week or last week or something, and just was a little bit of encouragement to me. Luke 18 and verse 1. And Jesus is giving a parable here, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint.
Yeah.
saying, there was a city, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regardeth men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regardeth man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest she by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, the story of this, and I always thought it was interesting as I looked it up, and the parable is called the parable of the unjust judge. And I thought that's what it was, and when I Googled it to try to find out exactly where it was and things. But many a times when we think about this, we don't consider the thought of the unjust judge as much. And I'm going to look at it a little bit differently compared to what the thought is for the scripture here. But when I look at verse 5, is a lot of times what we associate this parable with. And in verse 5, it says, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest she be lest by her continual coming she wearies me. It says that this woman troubled the judge by her continual coming, by her pestering, so to speak. Because she said, it says she wearied me, she continually comes. And when I think about this story, many times it's not mentioned in the story, but it is on the index of my Bible here. Many times when we think about the particular story, we think about it thinking of the importunity of this widow woman. A continual, a pressing. And the word importunity means persistence. That's what I'm going to look at a little bit this evening. Persistence. And the next part of the definition isn't really what I want to emphasize, but it was what she was doing to this judge. Her importunity was persistence, a continual pressing, especially to the point of annoyance. She was annoying him. She kept coming to him and coming to him and coming to him and asking him to avenge her of her adversaries. Now, as I said, the story goes on about the woman, she wanted her adversaries to be avenged. And if you read through this, and that's what it was, and she had some enemies or whatever. In verse 2, and the widow woman of the city came and said unto him, avenge me of my adversaries, her enemies. And she kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and he ignored her for a period of time. But I guess, and I always think about sometimes, I mean, he could have had her killed. He could have just, you're aggravating me at that point. You're persistent. You're annoying me. I could have had you killed. He says, but because of her persistence, because of her continually coming, because I know I'm not going to get rid of this woman unless I do what she asked. And he granted her petition that she was requesting there. And it goes on to the end of the chapter here. And Jesus, and the parable of the thought here, as Jesus says there in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? You know, we have a battle in the world. We have a battle in the world, and when I think about the battle sometimes, it's not always necessarily that they're affecting me directly, but affecting mankind. And this is not a part of my message, but just going over the parable a little bit. But they're affecting mankind. They're keeping mankind pressed down. You know, keeping them in a place to where they couldn't excel or couldn't benefit. They can taxes and all those things, just the laws of the land and things. And he says, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? How many times do we cry to God? How many times do we ask God? How many times have you in your prayer said, Lord, and sometimes we do, and I've had to ask the Lord to help me with faith. Lord, don't you see what the government's doing, what these people are doing, what they're doing, the things that are just the wickedness of the world? Yeah. God says, I see what's going on. And sometimes we pray, and many saints pray, and he says, the saints are praying. God shall avenge his own elect, and when they cry day and night, though we hear him. But I tell you in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. You know, one thing, when judgment comes in the world, and we even see it in our news today, somebody gets caught doing something, and I'm speaking of people that are famous or well known, and when they get caught doing something, sometimes judgment never does come, depends on who it is, but sometimes when it does, it's years. Right. It's 6 months, a year and a half, 2, 3, 4, 5 years before it ever plans out. God says when it comes, it'll come instantly. There won't be a time for pleading. There won't be a time for begging. There won't be a time for reading. God said, when it comes, I'll come immediately. Judgment shall come immediately, as he says here in verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? But as we mentioned, as it goes into these thoughts, for my thought for this evening, and this story of the woman, my thought for this evening is about the woman continually coming to the judge. And I believe that we can be the same way with God in any burden or need that we have. We come to God with a burden, with a need, with a sickness, with financial, with health, whatever it may be, from the smallest thing to the largest thing, we can bring every single burden to God over and over and over. And my thought for this evening, and Lord help us, never to get weary of bringing our burdens to the Lord. This woman wanted this judge to avenge her of her adversaries, and she got her answer because she continued. Because of her importunity, the persistence that she had, she went and she went and she went. Maybe she went in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, every single day. And probably when he's seen her coming, he's thinking, not again. But she brought her petition, this is my need. And I thank God that the relationship with that, the story that I want to get tonight, the message here, is God never gets weary of our burdens that we bring to him. Never. But the enemy does his best to try to help and get us to think, stop presenting it to the Lord. Never think that he gets tired. The enemy tries to think, well, tired, God's tired. You know, this unjust judge, he's like, he says, I'm tired of her coming. I'm weary of her coming. Her continually coming. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get weary. God doesn't get angry. No matter what our thoughts, what our cares are. And it's as I said a little bit ago, this unjust judge gets to a point, and God never, and I'm bringing this thought because the enemy has played this game with me even in recent times. The enemy has prayed, when you go to God in prayer, and there are some things in our lives that's almost right at the top of the list, or I won't even say right, it's at the top of the list almost every time we pray. It's there. We may pray about 100 other things, but this one particular thing, it's there. It never leaves. It's there. And the enemy has told me, don't bring it to God again. You've brought it to him 1,000 times, 100 times. Stop it. He's tired of it. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get worn out. He doesn't think to himself, here he comes. Here's Brother Doug going to bring the same request. And I have prayed that way sometimes. I prayed and said, Lord, at my very beginning of prayer, Lord, I'm going to bring this again to you. And the enemy jumps on your shoulders. But God doesn't care. He's going to listen to you every single time. He never gets tired or weary of the burdens that we bring to him. When God let Abraham know that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And I always think about that. God didn't have to tell Abraham, but there was a part in the Bible that God showed us that. And he comes to Abraham and he says, let Abraham know, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham started to pray to God. And Abraham started to reason with God, so to speak. And he said, Lord, if there's 50 people in the city of Sodom, will you spare them? And God comes back and goes, if I can find 50 people, I'll spare the city. And Abraham began to think. And he dropped it down to 45. He goes, Lord, if there's 45, he says, if there's 45, I'll spare it. And then Abraham said something when he got to 30, a little different. He said, Lord, be not angry with me with this. How many times have you felt that way? Lord, I brought it to you yesterday, last week, last month, last year. I've been bringing it to you. And Lord, don't be angry with it. I'm bringing the same request. I'm bringing the same burden. I'm bringing the same need, whether it be health in our body, whether it be for the loved ones or our family, whether it be whatever, the conditions of anything in our lives, a job or whatever. Lord, I'm bringing this to you. And I believe that God never does a saint bring a prayer to God and God doesn't hear it. And in one way or another, God works. I believe that. I don't believe God sits on the throne and hears you bring a prayer and just disregard it. I believe he works in his ways. We may not know. As we sang the song this morning about the Spirit works in ways we don't know sometimes. And God may work that way. But Abraham started to pray. He says, Lord, he said, don't be angry with me. He said, Lord, don't get angry with me. But if there's just 30 people left inside of me, will you spare it? And he says, I'll spare it. Abraham went on down to 20. God says, I'll spare it for 20. And he said it one more time. He said, Lord, let me mention it one more time and don't be angry with me for one more time. Don't be angry with me for 10. Will there be 10? And God said, I'll spare it for 10. And he said, I'll ask this one more time. It got down to 10. Now we know that Lot, his wife, and the two daughters, so it's 4. That escaped Sodom. So it wasn't even 5 that escaped. So if he'd have gone down to 5, God didn't allow him to go down to 5, but at 4. And of course, we know that his wife looked back and lost her life. But because of the burden, because of the concern that Abraham had for Lot, he and his family were saved.
Thank you.
And we don't know how much of a time span this was when God and Abraham had this conversation. But how many times do we come to God with a burden and it's the same one, maybe over and over and over. And the devil may even tell you it might be about your health. And the devil may tell you, well, he tells me that sometimes, some problems I have with my body and things. And it's because of age and maybe because of working over the years and hardness on my body. And I prayed and the devil said, well, that's just the way life is. Well, it might be, but I'm still going to ask God to help me.
Yeah.
I'm still going to ask God to help me. I'm still going to pray to God, Lord, will you help me in this or that or whatever burdens in my life I have. Have you ever prayed, and I mentioned this a minute ago, have you ever prayed, and I've done this recently, and I've had to plead with God to help me in my prayer, Lord, I'm sorry for bringing this to you again. I have. And the enemy's right there to jump on your back with it. But God doesn't get sorry. God doesn't get tired. And he brought me this message a week or so ago. And as it said there, he says to just there, he says for verse 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her lest her continual coming, for she weary me. God never gets weary. God never gets tired. God never gets to the place, I know what you're going to ask. I've heard you say it 1,000 times. And sometimes, even in my prayer, sometimes we pray to God and we may give a little longer prayers. We may involve certain wording or certain terminology, but sometimes I've been sort, Lord, this is what I need. I prayed it 1,000 times. Lord, I'm going to present it to you again. This is what I need. This is our request. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 32. Familiar story. I like this story. I've brought it many different times over the years. But in Genesis chapter 32, we're going to pick up in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. How many times do we wrestle in our prayers? Calling upon God. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. God never gets tired of our continual coming. And we know that this is a lie that the enemy has given to us. You and I, we get weary. And we get weary sometimes because we don't, our limitations of anything that we can do are fixed. God is limitless. His power is limitless. He has all the ability to do anything, to change anything, to rearrange anything, to do whatever. And God has all that power. And he says here that Jacob wrestled with an angel of the Lord. I believe this is who he was. And when he saw and the angel of the Lord begging him, pleading with him, and because of the burden that Jacob had, I'm not letting you go until you answer my request. And he said to him, he says, the break of day is coming. I need you to leave me alone. He goes, I'm not going to let you go. So he decided to try something. The angel couldn't prevail. So he said he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with the angel. Have you ever been, follow my thought with this here, have you ever been spiritually bloody? You know, there was a story, a little bit different than what I'm relating to this morning, or this evening, about someone talking about the bride and the bridegroom. The bridegroom was at the altar, waiting for his bride. And they came in the back door, and she fell through the back door and fell on the ground, and her dress was all muddy. And her hair was all messed up, and she had blood on her. And the story of it was, they knew that the church had been fighting again. The church is the bride of Christ, and they've been fighting. But my thought here, just a little bit of relation story of what I say to you, have you ever been spiritually bloody? Have you ever had a spiritual black eye by the world? As Brother Danny mentioned just a little bit ago. Maybe told his friends and family or whatever what God did for him, related the story to them that he prayed for a truck and he prayed for a certain color and he prayed for a certain engine. And when his family hears those things and we relate stories to our families or friends about what God, they look at us like we've done lost our nut. They ridicule us. They may not say it to our face, but sometimes they may go around their back and they may say, he's a little crazy. There's something wrong with him. Or they may even be bold enough to say things to our face. It hurts. So, sometimes we say, Lord, help us. But he gives us a black eye, a spiritual. Sometimes even by our own family or friends. Maybe even the church, and especially the enemy of the soul. And he doesn't quit. And he keeps going and he keeps going, and things of the world keeps going. And Jesus let us know, Jesus prayed one time for the disciples, Lord, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil of the world. The Bible says that the enemy is as a roaring lion seeking to whom he devour. And I read to you a verse of scripture this morning that Jesus said. He says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. We're not a fighting people. We're not people that are aggressive to go against the culture of the world or those things. And they accuse us. They beat on us. They ridicule Christ. They do all kinds of things. And in a sense, sometimes it's a spiritual bloodiness that we get. We're getting beat up. We're getting hammered on. And in those times, the devil says, why don't you quit? The angel of the Lord told Jacob, I'm done. I got to leave. I'm not letting you leave. I'm not letting you leave until you answer my prayer. And the devil says, sometimes, why don't you quit? And when even the world and all those things, our family and friends, oh, they beat on us. And you get up, I said, have you ever been spiritually bloody? And I give you that example, where maybe you've been beaten and you're on the ground and you're exhausted, you're worn out sometimes by these things, and you get up. And when you get up, you're the thought of the enemy to give up sometimes. And the thought is, by the grace of God, I'm going on. Why would anybody want to live to be a Christian? Of the ridicule that we face in the world, because I see something greater than this world has. Because I see something, a great hope, to see Jesus Christ one day, to hear Him say, as I said, that well done. That first day, that first experience, that's what I'm pressing for. Well, why it gets tiresome, to weary of the enemy, to weary of the world, all those things. You know, there are men in the world, they look for fights. They like to go out there and find fights. And you'll see them, and they'll get beat up, and they're bloody, their eyes are black, and torn clothes and things, and they might heal a day or two, and then they're going back out the next week. You think you get tired of them. And some of them may wise up and say, you know, I'm not going to do that no more. But when it comes for the things of living for the Lord, no matter how much we get abused by our families and friends, by the world, by the things of what we go through, by the grace of God, as we stand up and the blood, and the spiritual blood, so to speak, is flowing and our eyes are black, maybe closed, by the grace of God, I'm going to continue to press on the battle. That's my goal. And as Jacob said here, and the angel of the Lord said, let me go. He goes, I'm not letting you go until I receive my blessing. In verse 26, he said, let me go for the day break. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Do you have it determined to continue to go on till you make heaven? Yes. Or is there something that's going to affect you? I'm trying to think of one verse, just dawned on me a little bit. A stumbling block. Bible lets us know that people can put a stumbling block in front of us. Something that will trip us up. Well, we may get tripped up by the grace of God because of His love and mercy, and we get up. Say, Lord, help me. I need to apologize or just straighten myself up. And God says, continue to press on about. But when we quit, when we get weary, we get tired, and you say, you know what? I'm done. And my heart goes out to many people that have sat in this very congregation that I have known personally. They were at one time saved and sanctified and living for God, standing up, giving a testimony. There's a song we used to sing, if no one else goes, Lord, I'm going to go by myself. I remember singing that when I was really young and things. We used to sing that, and I thought, that's never true. But you know what? Sometimes that's true. Our families may not go. Our friends may not go. Our workplace is against us and those things. But by the grace of God, I know we have the saints, and I thank God for the saints and the church. But by the grace of God, I'm going to make heaven my home because Jesus Christ has the ability to help me all by myself if I need to. Of all people, Jesus had to continue in prayer in the garden. Three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, He had to pray. He took Peter, James, and John a little bit further in the garden. He says, stay here. He goes, I need you to pray with me. I need you to stay and pray with me. And Jesus went a little bit further, and he fell down, and he prayed to the Father. He said, Lord, if there's any other way, allow this to pass beside. Allow this to pass. And you know the story. He gets up. He goes back to the disciples. They're asleep. And he wakes them. He says, stay awake with me. Stay and pray with me. He goes a second time. And he prays. And I believe the Bible said, he says almost the exact same words. He goes and finds them asleep again. He goes back the third time. You know, sometimes we may bring our petition to God. We may bring our burden to God. And God may not answer it like we desire. But God may give us the grace to go through whatever we are going through.
Thank you.
And Jesus came to a place and said, Lord, not my will, but yours. Amen. And you know, sometimes in all of our burden that we deal with and go through, that may be where God gets us to the point not to answer the prayer, not to give us the desires of the heart, what we desire, but Lord may give us the grace to continue to press on and make it through. Yeah. Jesus came back to the disciples. The third time they were asleep again. You know, your closest friend can't carry your burden.
That's true.
Your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, your father cannot carry your burden. We can help one another to pray, and I thank God for that. Somebody brings a request, this is a burden for me, and we can share the burden, share the prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
It was a story many times, and I meant to look it up, see if it's actually a story or actual story. A man had a desire to have prayer, and the Lord woke him up one time way in the night. And he woke up, and he got out of bed, and he started to pray, and he tried to get his wife to join him in prayer, and she went on back to sleep. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, he goes, wake her up, get her up and pray. He goes, I gave you the burden, not her. Sometimes God gives us a greater burden. I may have a burden that you don't have, and you may have a burden that I don't have, but God will help us to have the grace to carry that burden regardless of what happens.
Yes, he will.
God never gets tired of our continual coming. I thank God for that. The devil battles me with that sometimes. But God doesn't get tired. Keep bringing it. There have even been times sometimes, and Lord, I don't know why I pray anymore about that. I prayed 1,000 times before, and I prayed 1,000, and Lord, I don't know where else to pray. Continue to bring it. Continue to bring the burden. Continue to bring the sickness. Continue to bring the healing. Continue to bring it before God. Lord, here's what I want.
Yeah.
Remember Aunt Sissy said many, many years ago, you know, she had a lot of health problems. And I think she even testified about this one time. She said the doctors told her, I don't know what age, wasn't real young, but middle age, somewhere in there. They said, by the time you're a certain age, you're going to be restricted to a wheelchair. You're not going to be able to walk. And thank God, all the way up into her days, her last days, she was able to walk. Now, that doesn't mean she could run. That doesn't mean she had back problems. She had health problems and all. And no doubt she prayed and we prayed and different ones prayed for her. But God, I've often prayed, Lord, I don't need to be 20 years old. I know that's going to happen. But God, give me the strength and the grace to go every single day. As I wake up tomorrow morning, Lord, give me help and strength in my body, the parts that are hurting. Give me strength each day. So I prayed about it yesterday. I don't see any difference. Keep praying. Keep pressing it on. Keep asking God. The Bible lets us know to cast all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Jesus says, call upon me. Whatever burdens you have, whatever needs you have, that I'll answer your prayers. I was trying to think of the verse and I'm not quoting it properly. My mind going a little bit. But Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But he says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Thank you, Lord.
Whatever concerns you concerns God.
Yes.
Whatever burdens you, God cares about. Whatever we present to God, God cares about. And I believe, I honestly believe, that God takes note on everything. And we have to come to the place to realize, Lord, if you don't answer what I desire, sometimes we ask God for certain things, and He doesn't grant it like He did with Brother Danny that particular time. But God can grant it in other ways. And God can help us to accept certain things in life if it doesn't go our way. May the Lord bless you as well. Yes. If you'd like to get a song book, stand, turn to page 392.
Love, O Christ. hearts to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Let sorrow do its work, sound grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the purling cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee.